Good morning. And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible. Bible's on the way, and we are excited for another day of grace. I feel a little under weather for some reason. I don't know if sinus is hitting me or not. So if I talk backwards or that type of thing, some of you know what I'm talking about. But we're going to be singing Victory in Jesus. That's always a good thing to sing and think about. Number 36 in your hymnal, Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Now I'm forgiving all my sins and have the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all the love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Number two, I heard about Paul's message about the mystery, Christ's body. How that Jesus Christ, the living head, he gave us liberty. I heard that now his message of grace to all believers. It takes away the law that was and gives us victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, Savior forever. He sought me and he taught me with his redeeming blood. He loved me there, I knew him, and all the love is through him. He punched me to victory beneath the cleansing. Number three, resurrection gives hope to those who trust him. I heard about the blessed hope to all who are in him, about our home in heaven and our bodies fashioned like his. And I reach out and shout amen, we will have the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he taught me with his redeeming blood. He loved me there, I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Amen. Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 15.
What chapter?
Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 15. We left off last week. This is lesson 53. I know I shared with you a couple weeks ago that we're winding down the book of Genesis, but I don't know if we're going to get through it today. But anyway, this is lesson 53, so one a week for the last year. So anyway, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thee that thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. We looked at it, there were seven things in that. If you remember last week, if you're looking at your notes, I will make you a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thee a great name. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's part of the basic issues of the Abrahamic covenant. That's where we was leaving off last week. We was talking about the covenants and stuff. And the covenant that he makes with Abraham is like a basic agreement. Out of the basic agreement, there are three other covenants that expands the covenant that he made with Abraham. The first one, if you remember what it was, the first one was, if you look up here at the land and a nation, that type of thing. First one is a land. It's what we call the Palestinian covenant. Out of the basic agreement, there are three, that and the covenant he has to do with the land that God promised Abraham. He promised Abraham some of this land. And the Palestine covenant has the basis of the outlining of the Abrahamic covenant. I mentioned last week, did God ever make a covenant with the Gentiles? But you have people out there wanting to make covenants with you and get you saved and say, see, you're part of this covenant that God made with Abraham. Abraham was a great man, don't get me wrong. He's a father of faith. He's father of a lot of nations out there. That's what God says. The covenant expound and will include some land. I hope I don't lose my place here. Maybe I'll get back to it a little bit. Genesis chapter 15. We looked at this. It includes some land. Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. And he said unto Abram, know of surety that thou seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and shall afflict them 400 years. Now, what do you know about this? What happens 400 years? They went in Egypt, didn't they? Did they get afflicted down there? Were there strangers down there? You know something else has happened 400 years? There you go. From Malachi to Matthew, there's 400 years of silence. Wonder what they preached then. That'd be a good message title for you guys out there. 400 years of silence. What are you going to teach about?
They still had the Bible.
They still had the Word, but not God didn't talk to them.
Right.
That's why when John the Baptist comes on the scene, like a weed, they're looking at him like, what's this God doing? And some of them had their Bible like, that's God. He's talking. So, and verse 14, and also that nation whom thou shalt serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Did they? Yeah. And they shall go to the fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation thou shalt come hither again, for the iniquities of the Amorites is not yet full. And it shall come to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, beholding a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between these pieces. The smoking furnace and the burning lamps are signs of the covenant that God gave to Abraham, not you and I. You don't look for a burning lamp and a smoking furnace today unless, you know, somebody's barbecuing down the road there and you're looking for a smoke and you smell it. Where did I get out the other day and smelt? Oh, Sherry and I went out to eat, and there was just bacon pies at this little place. And I'm like, did y'all make them here? And they had cheesecakes and all that stuff. They said, yeah, we're making some now. So I thought I smelt that, you know, aroma of that pie. And I'm like, that's a good smell. But the smoking furnace, I don't think it'd be too good of a smell. The word of the lamp upon my feet and the light of the path, that type of thing. And the burning furnace, the smoking furnace, is a type of tribulation that they're going to go through. So they're going to go through some tribulation. Verse 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thee, until thy seed, have I given this land from the river Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now, God gives them some boundaries of land, don't he? And God confirms that covenant with Abraham in Genesis 17. Go chapter 17. And he does it. He makes clear what he's going to do with the great nation that will come from him. And he goes into the land and wants them to have dominion over it. In Genesis 17, he confirms the covenant to Abraham, and he changes his name. Chapter 17, verse 4. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for the father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of these, and kings shall come out of thee. Abraham's a great name out there in the world. You go over in the Middle East right now and you mention Abraham, there's not a person that lives over there don't know who Abraham is. Every one of them can make their ties to Abraham. Whatever religion you want to be in, you can make your ties to Abraham. So not only the land's going to come out of Abraham, there are going to be some kings. We looked at this a little bit last week. The Abrahamic covenant not only includes the land of Israel that's going to reign forever, there are also going to be a throne. There are going to be kings. That brings us to the Davidic covenant. David wasn't the first king, was he? But David is the king, the throne's going to come from him. That's why we call it the Davidic covenant. The Palestinian covenant about the land finds its covenant with God made with Abraham. The Davidic covenant is also about a throne that's going to rule and reign in that land if it can find his basis from Abraham's covenant. And it's important that we get a hold of that. Very, very important. Everything starts for Israel in the covenant God made with Abraham, and everything else is an outgrowth of that covenant. Genesis 17:7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and the generations for how long? Everlasting covenant. So the land is going to be there. Now there's going to be a throne there. It's going to be there. It's going to be forever. And forever is a long time. Everlasting, yes. The seed's going to be everlasting. So when you're part of that covenant over here, or part of that nation over here, them Gentiles are going to be a part of Israel. They're going to be forever too. And we are forever in the body of Christ because of the faith that Abraham had. So we can. That's why we can call him Father Abraham. By the way, you find that in Romans. You might have listened to a year or so ago Abraham Accord. You know, one of the presidents of the United States made an Abraham Accord, and it was peace all 4 years he was there. And I hold that true because they knew who Abraham was. You know, Islam, whether you're Islamic, whether you're Arab, or whether you're Jewish, whether you're a Gentile. Well, if you're a Gentile, you're lost. But if you remember body of Christ, you know who Abraham is. Years and years ago, when I first started understanding dispensational truth, what's the first book of doctrine Paul writes to you? Romans. He talks a lot of David and Abraham. And I'm thinking, well, I'm just a Gentile. Why do I need to know anything about David? You know, David's not my king. You know, who's Abraham? All that stuff. God, through Paul's going to use his word and use the people that he used in this earth to get you to understand where you're at. I always say, well, if you never saw a sheep before in your life and you was in Alaska, and they say, when Paul goes, we all like seals, led to the slaughter, or would he say sheep? He would use sheep because that's the word of God. You use the word of God. So it made me understand, like, wait a minute, Abraham. Now found out he's a father of faith. That type of thing. So we can all trace now, which if you're saved, you can trace it back. Now, he's going to be on the throne too in an everlasting covenant. They are called that because they're unconditional in nature. Now, unconditional covenant is a covenant when God says, I will do this. And he does it. Now, did God say, I'm going to make you a great nation? Did God say, I'm going to put you in this land? Did God say, I'm going to make a king's going to come from you? Or did Abraham look and says, hey, I'm going to do this? No. There is one conditional covenant that God made with Israel. And you know what that was? Well, that's part of the basis, but there's one conditional covenant, law. The Mosaic covenant, the law. The condition says, if you will, if you do, I will. And if you see this, it puts a condition on that. And that's what that law does. Law puts a condition on anything. We raise our kids up putting them under law. And half of them's grown adults and got grandchildren. And what we still want to put them under law, if you think about it. You know, sometimes it's hard to get back and say, hey, you know, live your own life. This is what God, you know, this is what you, God says to do, that type of thing. And I know you sit back, we watch our grandchildren sometime, we're like, he's spoiled. You know, did I ever spoil my children like that? And chances are the answer is yes. Yeah. Verse 8, and I will give unto thee, And to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of who? Canaan, for an everlasting possession, I will be their God. Go to chapter 22. Chapter 22. God is going to make him a blessing, going to do all these things, going to make him a great nation, going to put him in a land, going to give him the seed and a nation and his descendants and going to be a great nation. That's a big promise. And you're thinking, how are you going to do that? You know the story about him. I'm 99 years old. How are we going to do this type of thing? He tells Abraham, get thee out of country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and unto the land I will show thee. Did he do that?
Nope.
Did he not do that?
Oh, sure. He left.
Yeah, he left. Yeah, he sure did.
He just took everybody with him.
Except his dad. He died. He buried him. And so he promised him the land. He confirms it and develops it that in the Palestinian covenant. And he says in him, I'm going to make you a great nation. And he's going to give him a dynasty. You think about some things that you know, there's a lot of wealth that's had land, went out there and bought land and worked the land and got it land, and they start having kids, and their goal is to give them that land, give them that wealth. And he says to them, and then he confirms it and that and expands it in the Davidic covenant. Then he says, I will bless you and I will make you a great nation, but there's one problem. Will be a great blessing, but there's one problem. What is it with Abraham? He's a righteous dude,
well,
right?
He
not only a seed, but he don't need
he. Did it on his own.
Well, we ain't got that part yet. But what's wrong with? No, we ain't got that part yet. But the thing is, what's wrong with Abraham? Yes. Who'd he come from?
Adam.
Yeah, there you go. He's still son of Adam. He's still a sinner.
Sure.
And you think about this. You're going to give that man right there all these blessings and stuff, and he ain't no good or better than I am. What makes him better than me? And that type of thing. Family feud going on. In order to Abraham to be a blessing to everybody else, Abraham had to get the blessing first. With me? In order for you to be, in order for you to teach or preach or not, well, let's forget it. In order for you to understand right division and share it with somebody else, are you going on what I say or going on what you should say through the Word of God. Did God say, feed my sheep first? You must be fed. You must be fed. He's feeding Israel so they'd be able to feed other people. You with me? You got to have that blessing. You got to have that understanding. And he doesn't have anything to give anybody. Abram, no. Like you said, he don't have a seed. How can he bless anybody? He don't even have it. So God says, I will give you the land. I will give you a throne and kingdom to rule and land, and I'm going to use you to bless everyone else. God said that. But the first thing he has to do is to give you a what? Not only a redeemer also. Okay? He's going to have to have a redeemer. I'm going to have to redeem you, Abraham. Okay? And you're going to have to get a blessing. In order for us to get the blessing, who redeemed us? You know, a lot of people says you're born with the blessings and so all that stuff. You know that you have to, God redeemed you to get a blessing. And how many blessings do you have? 99.9. The Bible says you have all spiritual blessings. So how many blessings can you ask God for spiritually? You already got them all. Physical blessings, that's different. And sometimes I catch myself, Lord, just heal this body or take me out of here first. So there is a promise of redemption for Abraham, and that is the issue of the new covenant. And it's important that you see these relationships between these things. In order to carry out the basic provision in the Abrahamic covenant and the promise he made to Abraham, God develops the Abrahamic covenant into the heading of three other covenants. First, his descendants are to be formed a nation. And then the Davidic covenant is involved in the promise of a dynasty and a nation and a throne. He promises them some land, don't he? And that land still need to be redeemed. He did that first, though. Then he carries out that is carried out in the Palestinian covenant. That gives Israel the assurance of the first permanent restoration in the land, never to be divorced from it. It's their land. In fact, you know what they call that land? We used to sing about it when we was in the religious system. Beulah Land, there you go. Beulah Land, Beulah. And you probably sung it with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Yeah, you just got into it and probably never understood it was not even to you. And Beulah Land is in Isaiah. You know what Beulah means? Marriage. They're going to marry that land. They're going to be part of that land. And God says he will take Israel, marry her back into the land. There will be no more forsaken than desolation. They're never going to be divorced again or never be divorced away from it. When God took Israel out of the land of captivity, he used the figure of being divorced. Remember, time and time again, I share with you, they lost it politically. When they lost it political, what did they do? They went into what? Captivity. God pulled them out. God divorced them. God looked at Israel and says, I'm divorcing you. I've had enough. And then he realized, I'm not going to be like man. And that's why Hosea and who is it? One of them was a prostitute, and he had three kids. And one of them was Lo Ammi. They named them, and Lo Ammi means not my people. So they named them kids after what, they're not my people. God's not, but he used them to say, I'm getting them back. But when he took them out, he used the figure of divorce. He had joined them to the land, then he divorced them. He put them away from the land, and he's going to restore them back in the land and never divorce them again. That's why that promise, that eternal life, is about that land over there. Who inherits the land on this earth? Yeah, Israel does. And they will be married to the land, never taken out of it again. That will be a joyous day for them. And all of that is going to be accomplished with the new basic of the new covenant that God is going to be. You got to remember that old covenant is not in effect anymore. The Old Testament is not in effect anymore. What do you know about when is a testament over? When the death of a testator. Did Jesus Christ die in the first book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? In fact, he died the last chapter of Matthew, last chapter of Mark, last chapter of Luke, and the last two chapters of John records his death. Until the death of the testator, there is no testament. So when you have your last will and testimony that you got locked up in a safe somewhere, I'm just joking, I don't know if you do or not, but the thing is, that's going to be read when? Can you have a living will and testimony? They make that today, right? Yeah. Go ahead and take whatever you want to. Just leave me his shoes on my feet. Come see me every once in a while.
I think a living will has more to do with when you're living, when it's time, when you don't resuscitate and don't.
Oh, so it's life. It's about life. It can't be nothing about I'm going to give you anything.
Okay,
well, you still got a living will. Okay, here, take this now. Okay, all right. But look, all this is going to be accomplished with the new covenant because it is redeemed Israel that's going to get the blessings. That's why Peter says in Acts 3, verse 26, he says, "Unto you first God sent him, his son, to bless you." And who is Peter talking about? Who's he talking to?
Israel.
He's addressing the leadership there. And then in verse 25, he says, "You are the children of the covenants and the promise God made with the father Abraham." He's telling them these things. He goes back to the Abrahamic covenant and the basis of all that the Abrahamic covenant is going to do. He sends Christ to give them that blessing, and then through Israel, the blessing will go out through all the earth. That's why God set Israel up here on this top timeline that we use. They're the blessings of the world. Everybody else is down here. And you can get those blessings of God the Father through being a part of Israel and blessing them. It's important to understand that basic relationship between them in order that you don't misunderstand the other covenants when you're talking about them. Go to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22 is probably the clearest picture or type of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. "And it came to pass all these things, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there a burnt offering unto one of the mountains which I will tell thee." Now, he says, "Take now thy son, thy only son." Was that his only son? Yeah, but apparently he's his only son. And then he says, And Abraham rose up in the early morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and a cave of wood for the burning and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a place far off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." So, hey, he's saying, "I'm coming back." And he said, "And Abraham took the wood burning and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for thy burnt offering? He's asking, right? He's questioning. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide. What's that next word? I love that right there. But think about that. I will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in a stead of his son. You don't understand this. You don't understand what is in when you read Genesis if you don't look at Pauline's epistles to explain the mystery of the cross. And you wouldn't understand it, but you can understand it in the light of. And Abraham goes up on the mountain with his boys, and God says, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac. He takes his servants to the foot of the mountains at the mountain of Horeb. God says, Take now a son. And he's going up there to do what? Offer him. So if Abraham knew about offerings, where'd he learn that from? A bunch of pagans? Did he learn it when the Tower of Babel was going on? Did they not offer stuff to gods? Sure they did. But they learned it from Adam, Noah. All them sacrificed God off. In fact, Adam goes, when he comes out of Egypt, when he goes down there in the phantom, he builds an altar. Do you build altars today? What do you call this place? I'm standing up here right now. Thank you. What do you call it in the big churches? Altars. Yeah. Steeples. Anyway, he wants to kill his son. And God, he knows if he kills his boy, God's going to resurrect him, and then they're going to go come back. That's why he wasn't over here in this land. They talk about the land of Palestine, where God's going to do this over here. That's their life over there. That's part of their everlasting life. Hebrews 11 says, Abraham is a figure, received him from the dead. And Abraham believed in the resurrection. And he understood the whole basis of the accomplishment of his covenant was the resurrection. That's why we can understand Abraham's a father of faith. That's why, I'm just wondering, I need to look at this. Y'all might be able to tell me. You know, the Islamic people and the Arab people, you know, they look at Abraham as their father. But wonder if they ever read this story about Isaac being offered. Or is it Ishmael? And Ishmael this, and 12 nations that Ishmael came out of, that type of thing. You know, you wonder why there are people jealous of each other over there. You took one son and you promised him this, and you took another son and you promised them this, and you said this one right here, they're going to have 12 thrones and 12 princes, but this one's my seed, and this one's where I'm going to go through. Wouldn't that make his brother mad?
Sure.
Yes. You can do that to your own kids.
Absolutely.
Play one against another. Mm-hmm. And people do. But anyway, so the basic Abraham covenant, you can't miss this unless you want to. What does he tell you? He goes up, what he goes up against, the issue of the resurrection, eternal life, is the resurrection into the kingdom of the Lamb. And Abraham understood the resurrection. He understood the order of the covenant, of the accomplishment, and then what was going to be resurrected and go in. And that's something he understood that. You know why? Well, who in the Bible that they said was a friend of God? Don't Abraham, a friend of God? Don't God call him friend?
Yeah.
You know, what a better friend that you could have. You know what I mean? We all have friends. Yeah, I talked to a coworker quite a bit, and he's got lifelong, he's had friends for 53 years, since he was 5 years old. Friends. I said, that's probably one of the benefits of living in your hometown for all your life. You know what I mean? Many of us don't have friends like that. I'm like, I don't have no lifelong friends. I got some lifelong cousins. But if I lived in the area, I'd probably have some 60-some-year-old friends. And some of the best friends you ever had was your cousins. And now you know some of the things you don't know. Your kids don't even know your cousins. You ever think about that? There's no reunions no more. That type of thing. You know, and then when you try to make a reunion, oh, I ain't going over there because so-and-so is going to be there. You know, that type of thing. I try not to let that bother me. It's like going to the funeral that you know the person that died, family, really don't like you, but you go to the funeral because why?
It's not about me.
It's about showing the respect for them. Whether you go through the line and move on. You don't have to sit there and say. But anyway, it's about that. And when you come to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the new covenant has not been put in effect yet. It's still the Old Testament. And you find them talking about the eternal life and the everlasting life in the world to come. That's what they're talking about, that kingdom program. In Genesis 22, you have a covenant confirmed one more time to Abraham. He takes Isaac up. He offers him. God stops him, keeps him from killing his son. Verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heavens the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply the seed of the stars of heaven, and the sands which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. They'll have dominion over it otherwise. And in thy seed, the seed, and here is the multiply seed, the nation, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed thy voice. Now, if you don't understand all that, you'll make yourself a part of Israel today because you want those blessings. You want those covenants. And God's got something far more going on today than he had yesterday. I posed a question on the Facebook. I said, which come first, the mystery program or the prophecy program? Good question. Yeah. So before the world began, before he had prophecy lined up, what we're talking about, he had the dispensation of grace in mind. That's something to think about. You're special. You know, this is the mystery of what God's doing, not only through the cross, but by the cross, he understood that he'd taken over the heaven and the earth. This mystery program has to do what's in the heavenly program, not in the earthly program. And without that, who do we call the prince and power of the air? And the promise of the universal blessings going out through Abraham's seed, the way that he accomplished in the new through the new covenant, we will see that as we go on. But go back to Chapter 12, right quick. What are the three things that we're looking at, Abrahamic covenant?
Three different types of covenant? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Palestinian.
The Abrahamic covenant. You got the Abrahamic covenant in those verses, right? Chapter 12. Then you had the Palestinian covenant. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 1 and 2. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel and the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with him in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all of this what? All his land. That's the Palestinian covenant. That's the same thing Abraham will get up and walk with me. Now it's going to go in effect here. Then you got the nation. Go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now you got the nation. And what's going to happen with the nation? Are they going to get a Davidical kingdom, right? 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall possess out of thy bowels, and I will establish his what? Mm-hmm. See, all this is going together from back there we read in chapter 12, Genesis. It's going to go in effect. It took some time, didn't it? It took some time. And then you get the blessings. And verse 2 of that. Genesis 12. That's where that happens. The Abrahamic covenant has confirmed not only to Abraham, but is confirmed to Isaac, and it's going to be confirmed to Jacob, and it's going to be confirmed as it applies to the 12 tribes. That's why he says, I am the God of who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says that I am God. I made a covenant with Abraham, confirmed it to Isaac, treated Isaac just like I treated Abraham and gave it as what I gave to Abraham, he gives to Isaac. And then he gives it to Jacob. And all that belongs to him equally. They're all a part of that. And then he goes to the descendants. That's good. Next week we'll pick up on verse 26. We still got a lot more to talk about the covenants and stuff, so. Yep. So one thing I want you to think about is David's situation. We call it a Davidical throne, don't we? Who sits on David's throne? For how long? You hear that?
1,000 years.
Then who sits on it after? Lord Jesus Christ sits on David's throne for 1,000 years. David gets resurrected. He promised David, you're going to sit on this throne forever. That's going to be something else to see too. You know what I mean? You see all these pictures in the past of what they did and who they were, and you're like, they're going to get resurrected. They're going to have bodies, new bodies, and they're going to be. It's going to be a joyous time. You think about that. It ain't like you're looking out there right now and see the White House. This is going to be God's throne. chapter 26 right quick, Genesis 26:2. And the Lord appeared unto him. This would be Isaac. Maybe I should stop there and pick up, because he tells him go down to Egypt. You know, that type of thing. So anyway, they always go down into the world. You ever notice that? Egypt is a site of the world. When you think about Egypt, that's where the world is and all the powers. And Israel goes down in there time and time again. And you think, we want to stay out. We want to get out of this world. Why do we want to be in this thing? You got to spread the word. There's people needs to hear the truth of this gospel. Like we always say, we got an all people's nation message, I should say, to everybody. You know, people's making fun of my, not making fun of it, the shirt my wife's got on this morning. It's one guy, Tom Astor, said, you wearing a globe. It's not a globe. She's not around, but it's a picture of the, it's a map of the world. You know, and you're looking at it and you're like, that's what the world looks like today. You know, and all these nations. And there's from my understanding, you can correct me if I'm wrong, there's not a country or place on this earth today that don't have people on it. So ask yourself, does every one of these places know the gospel, the grace of God? No. You think you could go there and find somebody and somebody like, I never heard that, but I believe it because I didn't fully understand it. Or you can find somebody who says, I never heard that before. Tell me more. You know? Tell me more about their God. And if you don't know who Jesus Christ is, where you got to take them to? Take them back to the beginning where we're at and show them God. God created in the beginning God, and you walk them through. Well, you can do that in your back door today. You know that? Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for things good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until next week.